From Hypebeast and Hype Radio, I am Jeff Staple, and this is The Business of Hype, a show about creative entrepreneurs, brand builders, innovators, and the realities behind the dreams they've built. Today's episode is brought to you by my good friends at New Balance. They just dropped the latest evolution to the classic 997 franchise. It's simply called the 997H. It's an instant classic, in my opinion. And my favorite colorway? Probably the Magnet Energy Red, but it's pretty hard to choose. It drops this month, and it's available in dope colorways all over the world at better New Balance retailers. And much like what we do here at the Business of Hype, New Balance is all about supporting the fearlessly independent. So whether it's the athletes they serve or the creatives that they collaborated with, like me, New Balance has been celebrating entrepreneurship since 1906. You can learn more at newbalance.com. Whoever said print is dead has never worn a t-shirt or met our latest guest on The Business of Hype. Hailing from Sweden, Peter Lundgren has created one of the most interesting t-shirt brands in the world and is still going strong 14 years deep. He's collaborated with some of the dopest brands, designers, and artists like A-Life, Ricky Powell, Eric Hayes, and yours truly. And he's had publication after publication rave about his project. So what else does Peter have in store? You'll have to hear from him first on this week's episode of The Business of Hype.
My name is Peter Lundgren, and I'm the editor-in-chief of T-Post.
Okay, cool. I'm familiar with T-Post. I know what it is, and I'm a big fan of it. But I think T-Post is a very unique product and business. And so we're going to dive into it, obviously. But first, what I want to do is play a little game. You know what an elevator pitch is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine I'm like a high-profile executive CEO with money to burn and invest, and I'm looking for something to invest in. You're riding down an office elevator building, and we're on the 37th floor. Door opens, I walk in. You have 37 floors down now to pitch me on what the heck T-Post is. Go.
Well, you heard of a t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
And the magazine.
Yes.
And if you combine those two into one product, and then you have T-Post.
Okay.
That's the product, and you subscribe to it. You get it once a month, just like a magazine.
Okay, so I don't have to go to a store to buy it?
No, you get it straight to your door.
I love it. How much do you want?
Tons. A shit ton.
All right, so that's pretty much it, yeah. I think it's great. When I first discovered it, like, what year was it that I first discovered it? I mean,
I think it was like 6-7 years ago we first met.
Yeah. You've been doing it in total for how long?
It's 14 years now.
Wow. Yeah. You've been doing this thing. You invented it 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So essentially, like you said in the elevator pitch, which you did very, very well, I think a good elevator pitch just cuts right to the chase.
Yeah.
You know, just like get to the point. Yeah. You know, you have like 90 seconds. So it's a magazine. So there's an editorial voice attached to it, right?
Yeah.
There's like a journalistic quality to it, but then there's a t-shirt element as well. So you know, I know this is an audio podcast, so people can't see, but describe it physically.
Well, there's the written story is printed on the inside of the t-shirt, and then obviously the graphics on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, and the hardest part with T-Post is get the story to translate the story into a visual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. And when you get it, you get it folded inside out, so you read the story, and once you turn it back out, that's the graphic.
T-shirt. Yeah. So it's like it's reversible, sort of. It's not meant to be worn reversed, but the words are printed on the inside.
Yes.
The graphics printed on the outside.
And it's actually, you know, the game of whispers?
No.
Well, it's the whispering game. If you hear something and you tell it to a friend, and you tell it to the next friend, the story changes, but you add something to it.
We call that a telephone.
Oh, that's telephone. Yeah.
Whispers. Okay. Where are you from?
Sweden.
Sweden, they call it whispers. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, the story is for you. Like, the story could be anything that I'm thinking about that usually, like, is something that like puzzles me, or I want to do something about it. And I also think that's graphic. So the story, when you read it, is mm-hmm. yours. And when you take the shirt on the right side, if somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, nice shirt, what's that?" And you get to tell the story, mm-hmm. but it's your story.
Yeah.
You transform right. it into your values and everything. With
right.
it.
You're the messenger.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. And I think it's cool how it harks back to a real magazine where, you know, I come from the print era of journalism where like there's copywriting, an yeah. article, an yeah. author, and then there's like usually a photographer or illustrator that creates artwork that accompanies it.
Yeah.
So it's the same exact puzzle.
Exactly.
Just the medium has changed from yes. paper to t-shirt.
Yeah. It's almost like you're the walking billboard, mm-hmm. you know, the front page, and yeah. you walk the streets with it.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You're the front page. Exactly. Yes. tell us about the packaging, because that's cool too.
Well, it comes in this folder that almost looks like a magazine. So mm-hmm. it's folded inside out. And when you open it up, and you have the story right there, just like a magazine. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a magazine, and once you fold it out, you can read the story and make it yours.
Yeah. Okay. So there's the t-shirt element, there's the magazine element, yep. but I think the third element that's kind of cool is that you don't really sell to clothing stores, nor do you really sell to bookstores. So you have a different delivery mechanism method.
Yep. Yep.
And tell us about why you decided to do it that way. Well, first tell us how it works and why you decided to do it that way.
Well, you subscribe to T-Post. Mm-hmm. And when we came up with the idea, we thought it would be cool because it all started. I had this ad agency ages ago. Mm-hmm. And when we thought, like, there was this 25% of everyone that worked there, they had own creative work just so they could explore their own creativity.
Yeah.
There was no boundaries. There were no rules. It wasn't supposed to make money. So you could do pretty much anything. If you mm-hmm. wanted to do a children's book in stone, you would do that. Uh-huh. It wouldn't be practical, but you just explore it. Yeah.
Okay.
We started playing around with combining different things, mm-hmm. like okay with like whatever with whatever, and see what we can come up with
remixing, like a yeah, DJ would.
Exactly.
Right.
And most of it was really shitty, but we thought like this t-shirt magazine combined with this was interesting.
Do you remember some of the shitty ones?
Well,
because I love when there's like, you know, through that process there was a lot of shitty ones, but the yeah. the 1% that makes it yeah. is really dope.
Yeah. 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 Because the shittier there are, and usually I love the idea. When you have the idea, you don't know if it really sucks and uh-huh. or if it's amazing.
Yeah,
and that's the kind of
yep.
boundary you want to
totally. Because yeah. if something's really amazing, it's one hairline away from really being the worst thing on earth, too.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, and you have to differentiate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's too true. Like they always say, for every good idea, there are 100 bad ideas. And the fine line between something amazing and terrible may not be recognizable right at that moment. But that's not to discourage any dreams or visions you might have. It's actually the opposite. Be true to your ideas and stand strong for them. Just remember to never be too precious. Give yourself the opportunity to actually try it out, tweak it, to fail even. You don't know until you do it. And there are too many times where ideas crash and burn inside our heads without even giving them a chance. I can give you a million reasons why you shouldn't do something, but the one reason you should do it is because there's always potential that it could be something innovative and dope. That's what's great about T-Post. It was born in an environment that celebrated new ideas. It wasn't up to anyone to make the call if they were good or bad. Not before those ideas were brought to life, at least. If it wasn't for the opportunity for people to exercise their creative freedom, a brand totally different like T-Post would have never seen the light of day. Who knows when your first or next mind-blowing idea will be? Go out and see it for yourself.
Okay, so you and your team sort of Frankenstein this idea together,
yeah.
and it worked.
And it wasn't supposed to work. It was like this bumblebee because we kind of thought in the beginning nobody would buy something they wouldn't have seen. Mm-hmm. So we thought, like, let's combine this and just make it even harder. So say it's a subscription because it's a subscription to magazines.
Okay.
So we did that. We started out just, we did 5 issues. Uh-huh. to the ones at the office and just did a website just so we could show it as a project.
Yeah. So you have to subscribe and commit to 5 issues, which was how much? Do you remember back then?
Well, like this is the thing, because this is the problem too with me as a business owner. I don't really care too much about money. I'm all about the creative process. So we've actually have the exact same price since 2004.
That makes zero sense.
Exactly.
Both literally and figuratively. No, but just because the cost, you print on a shirt, you print on, you know, the packaging,
yeah,
there's the shipping cost. Every single element of this process has increased,
yep,
in the past 10 years.
Yep.
But you keep your price the same.
Exactly.
So you're losing, you're not making as much money as you
thought.
Well,
like,
back then.
I've gone the other way, because we did everything at our shop, mm-hmm, from the beginning, and we started, and then as the prices increased, I moved the production over to, first we were in India, mm-hmm, and then we moved it, so we decreased our cost by moving it,
okay,
outsourcing the production.
Oh, so
the
you
production.
Were smarter about resourcing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Because I kind of wanted it to be this, not too expensive. Mm-hmm. It's $35.
Per
issue.
Okay. And is then, it, you get a discount for the subscription or no?
Well, no, it's if you subscribe to it, it's $35, uh-huh, and that's including shipping worldwide.
Okay.
And get it to your door.
And yeah, is it only, you could only subscribe 5 issues at a time?
No, you subscribe, it's ongoing. And it's,
okay,
yeah. So you subscribe, and if you want to quit, and then it's 2 months period of notice.
Okay.
Just because it's 2 months production time.
Okay, okay. So yeah, you'll get, if you decide to quit your subscription, you'll still get 2 more, and yeah, then, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Interesting model.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, like, you know, you harked it to magazine subscriptions,
yep,
but it's also sort of like now subscription models are all the rage in like online products,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you could get a subscription to like, you know, pills and stuff can just, yes, come to you now. Amazon,
yeah,
almost everything you buy on Amazon has a subscription model,
yeah,
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel good about that decision of going subscription only? And do you feel like it sort of has hindered you in trying to get into retail stores as well?
Well, when we first did it, we didn't realize how smart it actually was to do it.
Yeah.
Because when we did it, it's just a project at the office. It was a creative product, mm-hmm, like project.
Yeah.
So once we moved it out, maybe 2 years later, I handed over the agency to my partner, and I took T-Post just see if it could fly on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this idea, because this was right at the peak of the print is dead.
Yeah.
Era. And right, then
magazines
also,
were just folding and going under.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then subscription-based models was really on the rise too.
Mm-hmm.
You could subscribe to bags and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we really hit a good timing,
yeah,
with that. So once I took it on its own and started to send out press releases, we hadn't done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So once I did that, a lot of people picked it up.
Yeah.
They really ran with it.
Right. You mentioned some of the factors like the falling of magazine culture, but the increase in subscription,
yeah,
products.
Yeah.
Do you think streetwear had a play in it too? Like just, people wearing t-shirts and more,
yeah,
casual dress?
It, definitely. And one of the things that was really interesting to me was also that you could, because streetwear is all about limited edition, mm-hmm, not being seen like with the same t-shirt as your friend.
Yeah.
And this was something that we could control.
Mm-hmm.
We always said like, okay, if it's getting too many subscribers in one city, we will cut it off.
Really?
And then say, hey, this is a bar queue system. You need to stand in line to wait for somebody to drop out.
And there's been times where you've done that?
Yeah, in my local city, like in Umeå in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, that's awesome. So there's like a waiting list sort of exclusivity thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I would imagine that in the past 14 years of running this business, you've must have hit some crazy trials and tribulations, right?
Well, just to figure out what kind of things you can write about when you have subscribers that you don't know. Could you write about religion? Could you, mm-hmm, write about like,
right,
politics, whatever? You don't know if they're,
okay,
vegan or,
yeah,
whatever.
Right. Whereas like in, just to compare to like traditional magazines, like if you look at USA Today versus like New York Times, they sort of understand their readership,
yeah,
so they can provide articles that,
yeah,
they'll like. But
yeah,
Okay, so you didn't know who your subscribers were very
like,
well.
If you're a subscriber to National Geographic, you don't like want to return your magazine if you don't like to read about the tribes of Serengeti.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, but here's your t-shirt. But if it's all about meat and you're a vegan or vegetarian, you can't really wear it.
Yeah.
So you need to take that into consideration. And we had a bunch of, well, we did once, I don't remember how long ago it was, but the U.S. actually, they suspended a death penalty because it was like too expensive.
Okay.
And we thought it was really weird that death penalty is the only thing that you could do when the economy is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
That's a weird thing. So we did this big news on the front that said canceled until further notice.
Okay.
So and
you wrote an article about it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And we got a bunch of people that loved it and a bunch of people that said, okay, my grandfather, he hanged himself last week, so wasn't a good shirt for me.
And canceled my subscription.
Well, they got to return it, so that was fine. But
oh, you offer a return policy?
Well, in that case.
Okay, fine.
Not normally, because that's the same thing, because you, with T-Pulse, you kind of commit to what we do. You can check out what we've done in the past, and if you like that, you probably will like the things. So it's a commitment. It's not for everyone.
Right.
But that's the way we do it, yeah.
What other trials have you gone through in the past?
Well, mostly like what I found was really hard, more like from a business standpoint, was like taking care of production. Why? Because in the beginning, we bought blank shirts and we printed them locally, and I can be there and I can test it out and I can try it. Say, hey, no, move this print to like a centimeter to the left or whatever. Right. But once moving it away, when you can't be all the time, it was really hard.
Yeah.
And also when you don't really have the knowledge of fabric, how it works, and to see like, is this fabric, is it just faked to look good or feel good, or is it really good? Will it get fucked up if you wash it?
Right.
That kind of stuff was really hard.
Mm-hmm. So quality controlling the production. Are you happy with it now?
Yeah.
Okay. But it took a long time for you to sort of nail it. Is it still done in India?
Oh. We're it's done in Serbia right now.
Wow, cool. Yeah. Your t-shirts are made in Serbia.
Yes.
And how about the packaging?
Well, it's made there too.
Okay, so it's a one-stop shop.
Yes.
That does the whole thing.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we actually fixed it up so they make it, they package it, and they send it from there. So everything is down there, because it doesn't make sense to send it up to Sweden and then we send it out again.
Right. So that saves a little bit of logistics.
Yes.
Is it a printer, like a t-shirt printer or a magazine printer?
The printer what? The packaging.
Yeah, the Serbian factory. Are they specializing in clothing or specializing in print?
It's clothing, yeah. They do mostly like t-shirts and stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
So this must be weird for them too, because they have to put it into a magazine form now.
Because usually they're used to producing and delivering stuff four times a year with collections and stuff. Now we do it monthly, and there was really hard for them too to get like, okay, you're going to do this in 1 month, and then it comes another, and you have this rolling schedule.
Right.
And also with stuff when you're dealing with big factories and stuff, if they got like from H&M and 100,000 tees, we'll be moving down
the
production
moving
line.
Down, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of young designers face that issue of being low on the totem pole of priority.
Yeah.
And also young, small designers tend to be the most nitpicky and OCD about their work. So the factory's like, just shut the fuck up already with your puny little order.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, H&M is giving me a massive order. They don't even care what it looks like.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the orders that we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still amazes me that Peter has been running T-Post with the same business model over all these years. But while keeping the same price for his subscriptions, he's been able to make some smart tweaks to keep T-Post true to its original form. This doesn't surprise me. Peter's a smart guy, and in order to deliver the same product the same way you always have, you gotta find ways to optimize. He's been able to do that without compromising his brand or pursuing expansion. just finding solutions as he goes through the trials and tribulations of production hiccups, audience hurdles, or just overall market changes. Whenever you're faced with these moments, it's all about being adaptable.
And you're still primarily, like, how big is the company? Like, how big is it now in terms of, like, staff?
Well, we're it's me, and I have a part-time, a girl that works part-time for with the support and engineering or all emails, mm-hmm. and a bunch of freelancers, photographers, and illustrators and stuff like that that I work
with. So it's almost like a one-man show.
I like it like that.
Really? You didn't want to try to grow the company?
No, I really like, because back in the day when we had the ad agency, we were like, I don't know, 12, 15 people, mm-hmm. and I really like it small.
Yeah,
like is you can move fast and you could do stuff like come up with an idea in the morning, have it done by night.
Yeah,
it's everything is so much easier, I think.
Right, but you're able to pay yourself from this.
Oh yeah.
So tell us some of the wins of having this company now for 14 years. Like how is it sort of beyond what you would have hoped it would be?
Like when I started, I always think like everything, if you really want it, is there for you. You just have to put enough effort into it. Mm-hmm. So once everyone thought I was really crazy giving up the agency because it was just an idea when I got it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, I'm going to make this work. Mm. And then once it started to fly, it's like, it was obviously it's going to sooner or later, it's going to fly.
Why not obviously? Everyone thought that you were crazy.
Yeah, but I didn't think so, no.
I think successful entrepreneurs sort of have to have that audacity.
Yeah.
Almost like borderline stupidity / stubbornness,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's like people are just like, you have a successful agency. You're going to give that up now to go full time on one of the skunk work projects that came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody thought it would work.
Right.
Yeah.
And are you happy with it now? Are you totally satisfied? Or like, how would you like to see this advance or evolve? Or you're totally happy with the way it is now?
Well, it's always like Tipos for me is a fantastic vehicle mm-hmm. because it could take me wherever I want to go. I can work with whoever I want to. Mm-hmm. Just with say I can work with you and I do an issue and I write about that and it can take me anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's never dull.
Okay.
It's just like my own imagination that can take me there. It's just the same canvas, it's the same story, but I can fill it with whatever I want.
Uh-huh. Right. You mentioned that you weren't a business guy who was like looking at the numbers.
No. Oh.
But talking about some of the numbers, like how many subscribers do you have now?
It's about 1,400 uh-huh. subscribers, yeah.
Okay.
And they're located in 50 countries mm-hmm. around the world. So it's been like, because the thing when this started to take off back in 2006, it all went from blog to blog. Wall Street Journal picked it up. They mm-hmm. went to Time Magazine, and then it escalated from there. And the problem for me is that like I thought I was the best businessman in the world. Like, okay, this is easy.
Yeah,
right. Having a business is easy. So I just kept on doing what I did. And then after a while, when that heat started to decrease, mm-hmm. I really didn't, because the problem that I didn't realize was why did it take off? Uh-huh. I didn't sit down and think about, okay, why now?
Yeah.
Why did it, because I just thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I focused on doing good products and putting them out there. And then.
So did you retroactively analyze why it took off then?
Well, like timing is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Even though like you could be on point with everything, doing like it's perfect, mm-hmm. but the timing is off.
Right.
But once the timing hits, mm-hmm. it's really good to think about why.
Yeah.
Why did it hit? So now I realize that like the time was good with the print is dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought that was like a quirky, fun thing to write about since everyone thought magazine was dead. Here's a magazine on cotton.
Yeah, right, right.
That's cool. So, and the same thing with subscriptions too.
Yeah.
So I think like looking at that,
mm-hmm.
I really realized why it took off and how to roll it forward.
Self-analyzing is so important. Companies may do recap reports, projects may require postmortems. I mean, shoot, you even talk over drinks after playing a game. Why something performed the way it did is so valuable because that understanding is where real learning occurs. It's where you're able to figure out what to tweak, what to never do again, what to explore with a different partner, how to do it again the next time, and a thousand other insights you can glean. Being diligent with understanding the why when it comes to your work will only make things better and smarter. It arms you when trying to make the next decision, whether big or small. If there's ever a time when the answer is because that's what we did last time, then you're selling yourself short. Your customer or audience changes, style changes, tech changes, and trends come and go. Uncover the why because that's where something insightful will be found. And insights are what help drive great ideas.
And you mentioned the 1,400 subscribers. Do you now sell in stores at all?
Well, we tried it out.
Okay.
Like they wanted to sell it in Urban Outfitters.
Okay.
We put them in there for a while.
It seems like a perfect product for Urban Outfitters because they sell t-shirts and magazines.
We thought so too.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that like they were really excited about it and wanted to make an effort to display it right. But T-Post is hard. It's how to display it is really important. If you don't get it,
yeah,
the magazine part of T-Post is just a t-shirt.
Yeah, because you don't see the words on the inside. You can't see past the packaging.
No.
Right.
So we worked with them for a while but they couldn't really display it in a way that people got it. It was just like a more expensive t-shirt. So
for no reason.
For
right.
no reason.
Right.
So we pulled it out of there after a couple of months.
Yeah, I think the pros of a store like Urban Outfitters is the scale, right? And the number of locations and the reach. But the negative is that even if someone high up at Urban Outfitters understands your vision, that's not enough.
No.
Every store manager in Timbuktu and every little part-time sales associate has to understand that same vision.
Yeah.
And it's hard for those big companies to get the word out.
Yeah.
It's you would think it's as easy as like look at the inter-office memo or like the mass email.
Yeah.
But no, you got to rely on all these people sort of doing their jobs. Yeah. So you couldn't translate it all the way down to the store level is what you're saying.
And probably we were too small too for them to make the real effort. If we would have been bigger, it would have been a section and I'm confident that it could have worked.
Yeah.
But now in retrospect, I'm glad because T-Post is a subscription.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be that.
Right. Right. And how often does T-Post come out?
Once a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're doing 1,500 shirts every month.
Yeah.
If you were just a clothing line, that's a really decent sized business.
Yeah.
Like every month you have a design coming out that you're releasing thousands of units on.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of diversifying it, like just making it into a t-shirt line and getting rid of the magazine part of it?
Well, sometimes, usually, I have a gazillion ideas all the time.
Right.
And usually I always come back to this exact same place. I try it out for a bit and I realize that, okay, this is not T-Post. It shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
It should be this.
Right, right.
And I come right back to where I started.
Nice. What advice would you give? I mean, I think you're really in a unique position of being a solo entrepreneur for working on one single thing for over a decade.
Yeah.
You know?
It's and weird.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's a little bit weird. And, you know, just frankly speaking, a lot of people on paper would call that not a success, right? You know what I mean? Like they'd be like, oh, you don't have 100 employees, you don't have global headquarters, you know, but I think I could see just by hearing this interview and looking at you that like you're very content and satisfied and happy with the business. But I think it's not normal to do something the same for 10 years plus and just do it on your own. You know, it's very like, in Japanese there's a term called shokunin, which is kind of like it's sort of like if you're like, did you see the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi? So that guy, he just for 50 years is perfecting the perfect roll, right?
Like,
and he doesn't want to expand into fast food and takeout and stuff, right? So he's called Shokunin. That's like the trait. And I feel like you have a little bit of that attribute in what you're trying to do here. What advice would you give to someone who is embarking on their first step in a similar path of like trying to hone in on a vision and they're a one-man show and everyone's saying their idea is crazy?
Well, like if you really believe in it, in the idea, you throw yourself out there and you do it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're passionate about it, it's gonna, and you think it's really good, people will pick up on your passion and they will take that. And then once, because you never know, you could be grinding out for years and years, doing everything on point, being really like perfect, and nothing might happen. Mm-hmm. Might never happen, but it might too. But like, just keep true to your idea and then wait it out. Just grind it out.
Was there ever a time where you seriously considered like, I've had enough of this?
Never.
Really? Not even close?
No. Well, like it's not in me to, well, it's a problem too to quit, but it's always like when I look back, mm-hmm. it's always like to say, okay, this could have been a place where I should have given up. But at that point, I wasn't even close because I like, okay, here's a problem. I need to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And always like if you're a problem solver and you're driven by that,
right?
Like even though it's a creative problem or it's like a production problem, mm-hmm. it's exciting
to solve that problem.
Try to solve it.
Right.
Totally. So that's, I won't give up until I've solved it.
Yeah.
And then you're out of the woods.
Right. Right. Nice. Okay. So good advice. I think don't give up. And don't listen to the haters.
No. No.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I don't know. Like, I think for me, it's not been about like the money. I've been satisfied from the first day that I could have been self-employed doing what I love. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, the passion of for me is in like finding an idea about a story that I puzzled me or like that I like to put out there and find a conceptual way to take that into something graphic. It's different every time.
Right.
And if you have that passion in something, it'll work sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you profitable since like the first one?
Yeah.
So the first issue you were already in the black.
Yeah. The problem for me though, is that as long as I'm in black, I'm good. Uh-huh. So it's not scaling it. I'm just keep going because it's scaling it and looking, okay, if I could take in an investor, because there's been investors that wanted to invest in T-Pose, a bunch of them, but I never look at, I'll do my thing, but I'm all about like the product.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, sometimes I think I'm like standing away myself to mm-hmm. getting bigger, mm-hmm. but still it's like, I love coming to work every day. I love doing what I do. I could do whatever I want, nobody to tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think it's a total freedom.
Right. And that freedom is priceless.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to this dope episode with the humble and inspiring Peter Lundgren of T-Post Magazine. As always, you can find out more about the show and listen to other episodes at hypebeast.com/radio. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I personally use Anchor FM. Also, leave a comment and tell us what you think about the show and tell a friend about it. It definitely helps a lot. You can also reach out to me on Twitter. I'm @JeffStaple, and we occasionally answer listener questions. So if you have a question, shoot it over to us at questions@businessofhype.com. The Business of Hype is created in collaboration with Bright Young Things. You can check out their work at byt.nyc. Our director is Daniel Navetta, and our audio engineer is David Rogers Berry. Our associate producers are Sydney Pukumpura and Christina Hong. This episode was recorded at Sibling Rivalry Studio and on location at Anchor Labs in New York City. I'm Jeff Staple, and you've been listening to The Business of Hype on Hype Radio.